to start a new series. Anybody know what it's called? I can hardly say it without cracking up. All right? How many of you believe you got some crazy family? All right, so consider this pre-family holiday counseling. All right? Now, before we go any further, though, I feel like I need to bring up three. I will just call them, you can't dispute them. It's facts, no doubt about it. These are things that I believe with all my heart. Number one, we all have a crazy family. How many of you believe your family's crazy? All right, we'll find out here in a minute. Hear about this. No denying it. You didn't pick them. How many know if you would have, you would have probably picked a little different? Uh-huh. And here's no doubt about it. We all have some crazy family members and some crazy people in our family. Now, just as a test for our people here, how many of you, by show of hands, have crazy family? Raise your hand. Okay, now, I want you to keep your hands up. Look around. Put your hand down. It's a fact. You have crazy family. If you didn't raise your hand, it's a fact. You have crazy family. And in your world, everyone in your family is normal? It might be, possibly, probably is. You're probably the crazy one. And you need this series more than anybody else in this room. But see, since you're crazy, you don't recognize it, though. You say, I'm normal. Well, you will never be delivered from what you normalize. All right? Here's the truth. We all have crazy family. I know growing up as a kid, I knew my family was crazy. I knew it. I mean, and even once I had kids, I knew it. But just going back to my childhood, I had an individual in my family that every time we went over to their house, this was a lady, she would be drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, smoking Pall Mall non-filters. She lived to be like 90-something years old. And you knew she had had too many when she was setting her hair on fire. That's a true story. I wish I was lying. True story. I have an uncle still to this day. He's got false teeth. He's had false teeth forever. He lives in Louisiana. He's had false teeth forever. And he carries them around in his front pocket. He smokes and drinks coffee all day, but he carries his teeth around in his front pocket. How many of you know that's just crazy? That's just crazy. I think about crazy. When Michelle and I had kids, before we would go on vacation and go see my family, we would have to brief them and debrief them on how you talk, what you say to people, and all that stuff. Last time we went down to Louisiana, hung out with my family for a while. My aunt and uncle, they get going and they get drinking, and they have a pool in their backyard. And so next thing you know, they bring out the scuba gear and said, "You kids ever scuba dived?" Okay, my kids are like 11 years old, 12 years old at this point, you know? And they're like, "You kids ever scuba dived?" And I'm like, "Where's she going? Where's she going with all this?" And so they break out the scuba gear and they're like, "Here, kids, go scuba dive." So we give them training on how to scuba dive in the pool. And at first I thought, this is terrible. This is a tragedy that my kids are scuba diving in my aunt's pool. But then I thought about it and I thought, you know what? That is the safest place they can be, under the water. Under the water. Because seeing all this is just crazy, all right? I mean, crazy. If you don't know anything about my history as far as being a kid, when I was a kid, I was told about my grandfather's death. My grandfather's death is crazy, all right? Crazy. If you don't know, I'll give you a little brief history. My grandfather was staying at my grandmother's house, and they were never married, okay? Had five kids, never married. All right? And then while my grandfather is over at my grandmother's house, who he was never married to, he calls his girlfriend from the house, and her boyfriend answers the phone. Haven't got to the weird part yet. And answers the phone, and they get into a fight over the phone. Next thing you know, they challenge each other, and they're going to meet at this place called the Green Frog Restaurant Tavern in Lake Charles, Louisiana. They get down there to that tavern, and my grandpa takes out a gun. They get into a fight, him and this dude, and my grandpa takes out a gun and shoots the guy. Haven't got to the weird part yet. And so he shoots this guy, and next thing you know, the girl flips out because this is her boyfriend, even though she was sleeping with my grandfather. She comes over and starts beating up my grandpa. My grandpa, you know, being a righteous man, feels like he should defend himself, so he did. He beat her up, threw her out. She passes out on the ground. True story. We ain't even to the weird part yet, all right? She gets knocked out. He takes the gun that he just shot this other dude with, puts it in the glove compartment of the car, locks the car, walks into the tavern, is having a drink. She's passed out underneath the car. Haven't got to the weird part yet. And she comes to, busts out the window in the car, gets the gun, goes into the tavern, shoots my grandpa. All right? He dies. 34 years old. Still haven't got to the weird part yet. So they get out. All right, my grandpa's dead. Here comes the gurney, and here comes the ambulance, and they pack up the dude that got shot, right? My grandpa thought was dead. Well, he's not dead. Homeboy's still alive. All right, but not for long. Now we're getting to the weird part. They put him into an ambulance on the way to the hospital. Ambulance gets in a wreck. Guy falls out of the back of the ambulance, hits a tree, and kills him. How many of you got some crazy family? Crazy family. Hey, you want to know the crazy part? I told my mother-in-law about this whenever I first got married to Michelle because they're big into genealogy. I'm like, well, yeah, I got a crazy story. You want a crazy story? Here's a crazy story. And I told her the whole story. She wouldn't say it, but I could see it on her face. You're lying. You're lying. You're making all that up. So we go on vacation. You remember? We go on vacation. We go on vacation. She goes down to the library and looks up the date for all the death records and all that. Sure enough, now we've got all the printouts of the newspaper with my grandpa's feet hanging out and the whole story right there. Got the whole story. My kids win genealogy at the 4-H fair, praise God. Because I think they open up that first page and they're like, what? It's crazy family stuff. I kid you not, it's crazy. And so as a kid, you were raised to hate the lady named Lizzie Stoop. That was the lady's name. You know what? My family still don't even bring her name up around them. They'll twitch. Lizzie Stoop is the lady's name. I believe, if my memory serves me correct, Lizzie Stoop. She was the lady that shot my grandpa, all right, and got away with it. Because it was self-defense. She spent one night in jail and all the charges were dropped. Two dead dudes and nobody even went to jail except her one night. My family's still mad. Still mad. I mean, you know, there's some crazy family. Crazy family. Now listen, I know my story, and I'm sure you got a story. We all got a story about crazy family. The truth is, we all got some little bit of crazy in all of our families to go around. Amen? And like I said, if you don't, you the crazy. You the crazy. And here's what I believe with all my heart religion would tell us. Here's what religion would say. God only uses perfect families. God only uses perfect families. If you're ever going to see God do anything, you got to have a perfect family. Well, can I tell you that if your expectation is for your family to be perfect, for God to use it to do something great in the earth, can I tell you, none of us qualify. None of us qualify. I married Michelle because I thought her family was normal. And then I met them. She's got some family that I'm like, oh yeah, my family's crazy, but the difference between your family and my family is my family knows it. My family will tell you they're crazy. They will. Her family was like, no, we're normal. And you're like, made me redefine that. Come on, amen. We all got that family member. Come Thanksgiving, you're going to be like, oh, here she comes. Here she comes. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. And if you don't have one, you the one. We got that crazy uncle. Come on. Got some crazy in-laws. They're like, you know, Christmas vacation, Cousin Eddie type family. Come on, am I right? And we always say, well, they're from the South. Come on, am I right? You know I'm right. That's how most of the people I meet, that whenever they introduce me to their family and they know I recognize their family's crazy, they'll say they live somewhere else. It's like, yeah, they're crazy, but they live down south. They're from the South. We do things different here. We're crazy different. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. We all got crazy family. But here's what I want to really just kind of kick over today. If you believe that your family has to be perfect for God to do something big in it, you are absolutely missing it. I believe that the family is really the greatest place for God to do the biggest work. God never designed family to be friction-free. God never designed family not to be crazy-free. Come on. God designed the family to really demonstrate his love and his mercy in the earth. And it is the greatest conduit for doing that in each and every one of our lives. Amen? Because here's the truth. I can talk about my family, and you can talk about your family, but nobody else better talk about your family. Come on, am I right? It's like mama jokes. Don't be cracking on my mama, you know? Stuff like that. Because why? Because there's something in that that really ties us to it, that even though it's crazy, it's our crazy. And we recognize that God can do big things in crazy families' lives. So here's the deal. If you have a crazy family member, if you have a crazy family, if you are the crazy family person, God doesn't use perfect families. God uses people that are willing to have a heart for him so he can bless the earth. Come on, amen? And to prove that, just as an example, I want to show you something just right out of the first book of the Bible. We're not even going to get past the first book. Think about the first book. The first family, the first husband and wife jacked everything up for all of us. I believe there's going to be a line in heaven. And Adam will be standing up there and it'll be the slap line. And all of us who've lived will have our opportunity to get even with Adam and slap him right upside his noggin. If it's not so, please don't tell me, but that's where I'm at. All right? Here's the truth. The first family was messed up and dysfunctional. You don't believe me? Think about it. They had the perfect parent, God. And they still rebelled. So don't blame it on parenting. Some kids can be raised in the perfect home and still act crazy. Some kids can be raised in crazy homes and then get normal. Amen? At some point you become responsible. I know, here's a hard one for our culture, but just go with me for a minute. At some point, you become responsible for your own actions. Imagine that. Listen, the first children killed each other. Amen? Think about this. Noah got drunk. And his sons, Ham, exposed him, and he received a curse. We're not even past the sixth chapter. We got dysfunctional families. It goes on and on. Look, Sarah gives her servant, Hagar, to Abraham. He's 70 years old. Talk about dysfunction. Abraham is called the father of the faith, right? Sarah, 70 years old, 80 years old. Looks over at Abraham. You know what, honey? I ain't had a kid yet. Would you do me a favor? You know, we really need a kid. Abraham, would you go in with Sarah?
Well, I suppose so.
70 years old. Come on, she was a servant. I mean, she was young. Y'all ain't picking it up, but I'll get there eventually. How many of you know that's dysfunctional? absolutely dysfunctional. How many of you know Abraham is the father of the faith? So God can do big things even through dysfunctional people. Look at this. Isaac, Rebecca played favorites with their twin boys. Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of soup. Right? I mean, talk about dysfunction. It's absolutely unbelievable. You go through the Bible. We haven't even, again, we're now at chapter 29. Uncle Laban deceives his nephews. All right? It goes on and on and on. Look at this. Jacob's daughter, Dinah, is raped by a pagan Shechem, who then wants to marry her. He rapes her, and then he wants to marry her. Oh, yeah? But here's the problem. Simeon and Levi respond by massacring all the men of Shechem's town. I mean, even though that's a little bit over the top. I mean, could you imagine wiping out a whole town just because? Well, unbelievable. How about this? All of Jacob's sons? Dysfunctional. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on and on. And to go on even further, all right, we could talk about Aaron's sons. Dysfunctional. Gideon, murderous son. Dysfunctional. Samson, an un-Nazarite immorality. Dysfunctional. Eli's worthless sons. Dysfunctional. We could go through the Bible family after family after family and show you that dysfunction. Matter of fact, even Jesus had some issues. Did y'all know that his great 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 grandmother was Rahab? Rahab had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday occupation. All right? Roxanne! You don't have to put on the red dress. Anybody know what that song's talking about? Some of you are like, I have no clue. She's working the corner. Rahab was a harlot. The Bible calls it harlot. We would call it prostitute. That was in Jesus' genealogy. Here's my great-great-great-great-grandmother, Rahab. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Dysfunction. And if you don't believe me that it fed its way all the way down to Jesus, let me just show you this, all right? Look at this. I want to read a couple verses to you. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Tell me where the dysfunction is here. His parents, this is Jesus, all right? His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, all right? And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in company, they went a day's journey and saw him after their relatives, and they talked to their relatives and acquaintances. Okay, most of you have probably read this or read the Bible, but you never read it like I read it. Okay? The series is called Crazy Families. Crazy families do crazy things. Okay? An example of a crazy thing would be if you forgot the Son of God after traveling a whole day in the capital city of a few thousand people. Does anybody else see the problem with that? I mean, you forget your keys on the somewhere. Are you forgot your kid. Your kid. You forgot not just any kid. You forgot the Savior of the world in Jerusalem. What were you thinking? I remember one time, we forgot Michael at church one time. True story. True story. It was after church. Michael had fallen asleep. He was a little guy. And Michelle had laid him there on the chairs. And he was sleeping. We were talking to people. He was sleeping. We walk out. I had a truck at that time. We got out there, got in the truck, fired up the truck. All right, church is locked. Fire up the truck. We're leaving the parking lot. She looks at me. She goes, "You got Michael?" I said, "I ain't got Michael. Where's Michael?" She goes, "I didn't get him." We drive back up to the church. This is out at 550 North. And we hear this on the inside. Help! 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 Michael's so small, he's pounding on the door screaming, and he's so small he can't push the breaker door to get out of the building, crying. Okay, we did that for like 10 minutes. Okay, shame on us, right? Okay, they forgot Jesus a whole day. A whole day. When I read this, it makes me like, we're normal. We're normal. We forgot Michael for 10 minutes. They forgot Jesus, the Son of God, the whole day. And the Bible says they went back and looked for 3 days for him. Homeboy, 12 years old, 4-day adventure in the capital city. Unbelievable. 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 I can't imagine how that conversation went. Can you? Hey, Mary? You seen Jesus? How did that go? I told you. Come on. If you're a woman, you know what I'm saying. I told you to watch. Hey, listen, babe. Listen, Linda. Linda, listen. Listen. Listen, Linda. Linda. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Go look it up. Linda, listen. Honey, please. I mean, come on. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine leaving your kid. So spare me the talk of every family in the Bible has a perfect family. Jesus had a crazy family. Jesus had a crazy family. And you know what? How many of you believe he did a whole lot on this planet? How many of you believe he redeemed mankind? How many of you believe it didn't stop him? Amen. Listen, I'm here to tell you, no matter how crazy your family is, God uses crazy families and crazy people to impact this planet. Amen. 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 Praise God. Give the Lord a clap. Praise God. See, the truth is this right here. Every family functions with a little bit of dysfunction. Come on. And you really get to know this once you get married. See, your family's normal until you marry somebody and you're like, well, that is weird. Why do you guys do that? Right? Right? And then you realize, okay, maybe we are a little bit of dysfunctional. You know, here's some truths, though, that you want to write down and take home with you. Number one, God created the family. Do you believe that? It is still the greatest thing on the planet. It is still the greatest thing to show the nature and the mercy of God. Everybody look at me and listen to me real, real clear. You ready? It is still the greatest tool and instrument for the nature and character of God to be displayed in the earth. See, because through the man and the woman, the male and the female, you have both natures of God being demonstrated in one home. You have the masculine and the feminine. Look at this right here. The two greatest things, I believe there are several things that the enemy hates, but I believe these specifically. Like I could say Israel, the enemy hates Israel. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that the enemy hates, you know, America. I believe there are a lot of things that the devil hates. But this one is for sure. The enemy hates family and he hates church. He does everything he can to destroy those two things. He does everything he can to destroy family and church, and specifically family. He has been working overtime over the last 50 to 100 years in America trying to destroy the fabric of our nation called families. Amen? And listen, the truth of the matter is sometimes the church has not stood against that in the way it should to say, this is what family really is all about. And this is really where the strength of our nation lies. It's in our families. It's in our families, no doubt about it. And the strength of our families really lies upon marriages. Marriages. There are some assumptions about marriage that people deal with. And I just want to ask you this morning, do you sit here with a secular view of marriage or with a religious Bible-based view of marriage? Think about it this way. Secular assumptions about marriage. Marriage is a human idea. That's not true. Who made marriage? God did. Who has the right to define it? God does. How about this? Secular attitudes. We should reevaluate marriage or we should redefine marriage. Those are both from the pit of hell and they don't belong. Because the truth of the matter is God got it right from the beginning. He made Adam and Eve. And he stopped right there. There was no need for any discussion any further. Look at this. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 6. It says this. It says this. But from the beginning of creation, God made them, come on, say it loud. Come on. Male and female. This is Jesus speaking. It's in red. It's in red. He made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become. We have a wonderful kids ministry on the other end of the building. Do we have to explain one flesh? Does everybody know what that means? One flesh? Component A, component B? Go from there? I think we get the message, Pastor. All right, that's great. The two shall become one flesh, and they will no longer be two, but they shall be one. Therefore, what God has joined two together, let not man separate. And just to kind of speak of it just for a second, I just want to tell you, I believe this with all of my heart. Therefore, what God has joined together, male and female, let not man tear apart. Let me say it the opposite way to make it real crystal clear. Therefore, if God doesn't join it together, men should not bring it together. Amen? What God has joined together, let not man touch it. But what man it puts together, God's not obligated to honor that. I was watching a Campbell's Soup commercial the other day about puked. Puked. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Campbell's Soup. I don't know what's wrong with them. They're sick or lonely or they need help. Whatever. Here's the truth. They had it's one thing to jack with the family. Now they jacked with Star Wars. The war is on. The war is on. I feel the force. All right? How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? Those of you that don't know, let me explain. There's a commercial now that shows a man, I think, sitting there with a boy, and he says this. He said, "Luke, I'm your father," like on Star Wars, and he feeds the little boy a spoonful of soup, Campbell's soup, and then the camera pans out, and it has another man on the other side, and it says, "And I'm your father too." That's called redefining. That's called reshaping. That's called, in the word, an abomination unto God. What God has joined together, let not man tear apart, all right? But what God has not joined together, man has no right to make it something that it's not. Amen? If we're going to have strong families, we have to understand what the root of strong families are. The root of strong families is strong marriages, strong relationships. Amen? And listen, marriage has never been trouble-free or friction-free. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. Nothing will push you to be more Christ-like than a marriage. Can I get a witness in the house? Don't say it loud, though. There's right beside you. Come on, when you hear that verse, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's my family. It's her. She's got horns. Come on, am I right? You know, nothing will push on your patience like your marriage. But it's what God instituted. Matter of fact, how about this? Nothing will bring sin to the surface like marriage. If you got sin in your heart, nothing will bring that to the surface like your marriage. Why? Your spouse can say things that nobody else can. Somebody else says that to you, you're choking them out. They say it and it's like, oh, that's right. Come on, am I right? Listen, there's an accountability level in marriage and in that relationship that's in no place else. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Honorable thing. That's a good thing. And that's a God thing. Come on, amen? Amen, all right? Listen to this. Essentials of every marriage is this right here. Look at this. Covenant. Y'all believe that? Absolutely. How about this? Companionship. Right? Right? How about this? Commitment and creation. That's what God did it for. That's what God wanted it for. All right? I love this. This right here. The church. must protect the foundation of the family, marriage. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. If you're taking notes, write this second one down, though. I believe it to be true also. We need to obey God's instructions in our families. In our families, we got to obey. You know, God gives explicit instructions on how the family should operate. All right? And just for a second, let's look at just some of these. And again, in this series, we'll talk about it probably more in detail over the next few weeks, but look at this right here. Number one, it says this: submit one to another in love. That's Ephesians chapter 5. Submitting one to another. I know most people hear, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Yeah, but right before that, it says, husbands and wives, submitting one to another in love. Now, I don't want to cause a fight. I don't want to cause a fight. Far be it from me to cause trouble. But the next verse says it again. Wives, submit to your own husbands unto the Lord. And here's what I know about the Bible. If something is in the Bible one time, it's pretty important. If something is said twice and then someone's called out for... I'm not making up tales. I'm just telling you what the Word says. Like a good pastor. So some of you aren't getting the picture, but let me paint it real clear. God says to everybody, submitting one to another in love. And he says, and you women, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, for this is right. Y'all getting what I'm saying? Ain't nobody saying nothing. Men's too chicken, all right? Yeah, that's all right. I'm just saying, all right? How about, and then it goes on to say, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and was willing to lay down his life for it. How many of you know men, sometimes that's hard? Chicken. Come on, it's always hard. It's always hard to lay down what we want for what our spouse wants. Is that right? Unless it's food, then we are all right with it, all right? How about this? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? So that you'll live long. For this, the first commandment with a promise, right? I was told as a kid, listen, you jack this up, we'll get rid of you, make one another one just like you. How many of you know you learn obedience as a young man? But seriously, obey your parents. Obey your parents. I had the privilege of coaching baseball. I'm amazed how kids talk to their parents. If I talked to my parents the way some kids talk to their parents, I'd have been picking my... We had. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We had timeout when I was a kid too. It was a little different though. It was called time to pick yourself up. If you acted crazy with my family, it was like time to pick yourself up. There wasn't no timeout and there wasn't no warnings either. It wasn't like countdown time. It was like, bam, one. Wow, that was quick. Next time you'll know. All right. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying? Not saying it was, well, it worked. Praise God. All right, look at this one. Fathers, do not provoke your kids. That's in the Word of God. I mean, you think about that. It never says women don't provoke your sons and your daughters. It says men, don't provoke your kids. Well, why does it say that? Well, have you ever seen on the side of a soccer field a mother over there in her kid's face going, I told you to kick the stupid ball. What's wrong with you? You get out there and you kick it. You kick it like you got some. You kick it with all you got. Knock them kids out of the way. You go. You don't hear chicks doing that normally. Right? Women are mostly like, you know, go, Johnny. It's like, boy, your kid sucks. Yeah, I know. Go, Johnny. Isn't he cute? Oh, but the uniform looks great. That's most moms, am I right? You get most dads, it's like, I don't care. I don't care. If we're drawing straws, we're competing. Come on, am I right? And sometimes, man, we got to be careful because, listen, we can provoke our kids to actually anger and wrath towards us. We can put undue pressure on them that we shouldn't put on them. Come on, amen. We should, something we've always practiced at my house and something I still do to this day is I always tell my kids, even before their sporting events, man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you regardless of your success. I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you're my son and you're out there giving it your all. All I ask are two things. Give your all and be a leader. That's all I ask. Be a leader and give your all. If you come off the field and you get waxed, but you gave it your all, that's all good with me. You won't hear me say a word. I'm proud of you. You give it your all. Because what I'm trying to do is establish them in life that eventually they're going to find their groove on this planet. They're going to find their groove. And when they find their groove, they're going to have to give it their all. And when they give it their all, they're going to see God in great results in their life. Amen? So men, we have to be careful that we don't. Just like women, it says, you know, submitting, we have to, men, not provoke our children. And then the last one, which may be one of the hardest ones for some of us guys, husbands, live with your wives with understanding. That's what the word says. Listen, how many of you know we can never, well, let me reshape this. I was going a direction, I pulled back. How many of you women know that men will never understand you completely? And when we start to figure you out, you change. Because you crazy. To us, you crazy. You crazy. It's like yesterday I said that and she was fine. Today she's a wreck. What happened? Amen. That's why I didn't say what I was about to say was, how many of you men know you never understand your wife? But then that provokes what goes home. And then it's like, what did you mean? Pastor Charlie said, you guys, you don't understand me. What about me you don't understand? And that is a trap. That's a trap. That's a trap. If you put your toe, snatch you in, man. Take you in all the way. Next thing you know, you're in an argument and somebody's sleeping on the couch. Just because Pastor Charlie said you don't understand her. Come in next week. Thanks, Pastor Charlie. Punk. Come on, how many of you know that to be true, though? Here's what I do know, though. Here's what I know. I know this. If we will believe God, though, God will do big things in spite of our crazy families. In spite of our craziness, God can do big things in our families. Come on, how many of you believe that? In spite of it. I think about all the things that God does. And I love this verse right here. It says this, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. And what? And calls things that do not exist as though they did. What's that tell you and I? It tells us that even if our families are dead, even if they're completely dead and there's no life in it, that God has the ability to breathe life into our marriages, life into our families, life into our relationships so they can be everything that God designed them to be. Come on, amen? There's never a place where you should have no hope over your marriage or your family. Because here's the truth. God can always bring hope into your family. Always bring hope into your family. And every time you obey him, every time you walk out his instructions, your marriage will be more blessed than it ever was before. Amen. Amen. Here's the last thing I got for you. You need to invite God into your family. You need to invite God. That's what you're doing here today. Do you realize that? I've heard people say, well, Pastor Charlie, I don't like to go to church on Sunday because that's our family day. Come on Saturday night. All right? Well, Pastor Charlie, you know, that's our family time. We don't get any family time. Listen, I can't think of anything greater than you coming to the house of God and presenting your family before the Lord. Listen to this. I love this verse. 2 Chronicles 20:13. It says this. Now all of Judah with the little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Do y'all see that? The little ones, the big ones, the wives, everybody stood before the Lord. Every time you come to church and you bring your family, you're bringing your family before the Lord. You're putting something in them, literally, that will actually affect eternity. I know of people that, man, they put their kids, and I'm not against sports, and I'm not against travel ball, and I'm not against you running your kids here and there and everywhere. I'm not against all that. I'm not, I promise. But listen, I know of families that they will do all that for their kids, but then to have them come to youth or have them come to church, it's like, well, you know, we're real busy. Okay, chances are unless he's 6'7" and just phenomenal, he's not going to be in the NBA. Chances are, unless he's just phenomenal, he's not going to get a full ride. Well, that's what we're believing for. Okay, go ahead. But when your kids go off to college and they don't know God, and you're wondering, why in the world are they thinking and living the way they are? Know that your pastor warned you when they were kids that you should make church and make God and make spiritual things a priority in their life. Because here's what I do know. If you will train them up in the ways of the Lord, the Bible says, when they grow old, they shall not depart. So if you will make the early investment, I promise you, God will pay you back on everything that you paid into him. Come on, amen? So there's nothing wrong with sports and all that. We play sports. Our kids do and all that. But understand, keep it in perspective with eternity. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Listen to this. Josh, I love this. I think you should teach your kids three things. Three things. This is what we've always told our kids. You need to serve, you need to give, and you need to pray. We make all three of those just a part of our family culture. Praying, giving, and serving. We tell our kids, you should be serving somewhere. Our kids do serve. And you know what? This is family to them. This is what our family does. We serve. That's what we do. We've taught our kids from the time they ever received a dime, you should give. You should tithe. You should be a giver. You see somebody that has nothing, you should be a giver. And this doesn't necessarily have to be all church, but giving, having a giving heart. Michael, the other day, I was proud of him. He went over to his grandmother's, and they have this stray cat out behind their house. Michael comes home, breaks out all the wood, builds this cat a little shelter, takes it over to his grandmother's and puts hay and all that stuff in it and makes it out of wood, just him all by himself. You say, what is that? That's that giving heart that started when he was a little kid, teaching him to give, all right? Oh, we shot a deer to make up for it, but you know... No, on a serious note, being a giving heart. How many of you know that's what God wants us to do? And praying. God wants us to be a praying family. We make prayer just a part of our thing. The other day, another example with Michael. Michael was walking. We were out hunting. He dropped his glasses. And you know what I told him? I'll go help you. No, go find them. You dropped them. You go find your glasses. He goes, all right. So he takes off. Comes back 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, not very long at all. And I go, did you find him? He goes, yeah. He goes, Dad, I took 3 steps and I said, Lord, help me find my glasses. I mean, we're in woods. Y'all know what I'm saying? He goes, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me find my glasses. He goes, I took another 3 steps and they were right there on the ground. I said, that's exactly right, Mike. God cares about all things, not just the big things. He cares about even our sunglasses. I used it as an opportunity. But the more important part was he prayed as he was walking, 16 years old. I'm not saying my kids are perfect. They're crazy too. Come on, amen? Amen? But here's my point. If we will teach our kids to serve, to give, and to pray, I believe God can do big things in their life. I believe it with all my heart. Here's the bottom line. You ready? God works in crazy families. God absolutely works in crazy families. If you believe your family is too crazy for God to do anything with, you're wrong. You're wrong. I don't care how crazy your family is. God is not done with your family. I don't care if you're not the best husband yet. Hey, listen, God can move. God can move in you. God can show you how to be the man of God you desire to be. Some of you women, maybe you don't feel like you're the greatest mother or the greatest mom. Listen, God can do big things in you. Don't discredit it. Say, but I'm crazy. Hey, listen, God does big things in crazy people. Matter of fact, the greater the mess, the greater the miracle. That's the way I feel about it. Maybe you feel like I've ruined it all with my kids and my family and everything. Hey, listen, God's not done. God is not done, praise God. And we're going to pray that through this series, man, God's going to restore some homes. He's going to bring life to dead relationships and dead marriages. Amen? Will y'all agree with me with that?